So I know you've been very interested in this issue of CNS relapse. I see you had a paper in Cancer in 2017, the number of extranodal sites assessed by PET CT is a powerful predictor. And you had another paper in the British Journal of Hematology specifically on testicular involvement. Can you talk about that work?
Yeah, so as I said, we're starting to understand a little bit more in terms of the risk factors that might weigh into CNS risk. Right now, I already mentioned the CNS IPI as one of the things that we should probably calculate on patients, and that's the IPI score together with the presence of adrenal or renal involvement. But independent from that CNS IPI score as a tool that we can use to predict risk, there do seem to be other parameters that probably do weigh in to risk. And one of those is the number of extranodal sites. And in this patient that we're talking about, that's the risk that I'm most concerned about here, is they have at least 4 extranodal sites of involvement that I would say significantly increase their risk of CNS involvement based on that data that you're pointing to. The other unique entity where we need to be really aware of the risk of CNS involvement is primary testicular diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. So that, again, is sort of a rare presentation of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, but the unique feature with it is it does substantially increase the risk of CNS involvement. So for that particular entity, we do recommend CNS prophylaxis in all of our patients. And that prophylaxis would be with systemic methotrexate because, you know, the majority of the patients with primary testicular lymphoma that have CNS involvement have it within the parenchyma of the brain rather than leptomeningeal. And so I think the utility of intrathecal prophylaxis really doesn't make a lot of sense at all for primary testicular.
Are you talking about CNS or testicular?
I'm talking right now about primary testicular lymphoma, and they do have a higher risk of CNS involvement and relapse within the CNS. And when they do relapse, most of the time it's not as leptomeningeal involvement or involvement of the CSF fluid, but almost always they present with intraparenchymal brain lesions as their evidence of metastases. So I think most people feel that it's never made sense to consider intrathecal methotrexate as a prophylaxis for those patients based on the biology where we see them have relapse deep in the brain tissue, which is why we think that if you're going to give them prophylaxis, it really should be with IV methotrexate.
Right. When you talk about testicular involvement of diffuse large B-cell, are you talking just about primary testicular diffuse large B-cell, or do you also see that the testes can be one of the sites of disease, but there's disease elsewhere?
Yeah, so I'm specifically talking about primary testicular diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. Occasionally, we see patients who have widespread disease, but it's really hard to know if it's also involving the testicular region, whether or not it originated there or not. So I think it's going to come down to, there's not a whole lot of data to suggest if the patient has widespread disease but also has testicular involvement, is that a risk factor? Because it may have been that it was an initial primary testicular that's just widespread. So I think clinical judgment is going to have to be used in that rare circumstance where it's not clear if it's primary testicular or not. But most of the data we have relates to primary testicular diffuse large B-cell lymphoma as increasing the risk.